many of us have our most important meal of the year this week. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Today, we've got our own version of Thanksgiving farm to table, starting with a visit we recently took to a local farm. So we're walking, is this, what do you call this? Is this like the field where we are?
This is the turkey field,
yeah. The turkey field.
Come on.
Have you ever wondered, as you're slicing into your Thanksgiving turkey, what kind of life the bird had before it got to your table?
There you go. Hi, I'm Stephanie Tuis. I am the farmer's daughter.
Stephanie Tuis stands in a field that's part mud, part grass, and filled with turkeys, all sporting white feathers and curious expressions. How old are these turkeys? They look big to me, but
these turkeys would have been hatched in late June. They come here a day old, so that way we control everything that goes into them. No hormones, no preservatives, no additives, nothing like that. Just out here in the field eating their whatever they find, and then the cornmeal mash that Dad adds to their diet as well.
At Tuis Farm in Erlanger, Kentucky, you can see from the fence line how these turkeys live.
So there's probably about 1,500 in this field. So, and it extends all the way down there to their shelter.
Stephanie's dad, Dan, runs the farm that's been in the Tuis family for 81 years.
So my dad is one of 17 children that my grandparents raised in the house right on the property. And a lot of them come back to help Dad this time of year. And then he has 5 children. I'm the oldest, so I do a lot of the marketing and technology aspect and the sales. And then my other sisters all work here part-time. My brother helps out as well. So we're all here doing it. It's really a family operation.
The farm operates year-round, selling chickens and eggs, but she calls Thanksgiving the Tuis family Super Bowl, and the turkeys are the star players.
Dad basically makes all of his money at Thanksgiving time, so that's why they're so important to keep them healthy, to take care of them, to make sure that they have what they need, and like I mentioned, it's kind of all hands on deck.
While the farm has avoided avian flu and hasn't been hit too badly by tariffs, other bird bills have gone up.
The price of even buying them as babies, the price of food has gone up, the price of straw for the field, the price of gas for the tractors, all of that stuff does go up, which is how we sit down and factor what the price per pound will be each year. We had to raise our prices. We're at $5 a pound this year, which is up 50 cents a pound. We've got to combat with all that other thing to make it worth it, but also be fair to our customers, but be fair to my dad who works so hard.
Tuis has customers who've been visiting the farm for decades. Thousands stop by each year before Thanksgiving. Customers like Lee Hamilton McGar.
And we do it every year because it's a special occasion. You're feeding people that you might not see for the next entire year. The turkey truly tastes different. And when you talk about like duck or some kind of other bird or something like that, you can get a little bit gamey, but you stick with turkey and it tastes like the freshest meat you've ever had. It's tender, it's juicy.
Tuis Farm will sell 3,000 turkeys before the end of this week.
The turkey is the star of the show, and if you're going to impress your guests, you want to have the best turkey. I don't think anyone's ever going to ask where you got the green beans from, but they're going to ask where you got your turkey from.
She's good.
For the Tuis family and their turkeys, showtime is just a few days away.
Gobble, gobble, gobble!
That's great.
Let's continue our conversation about preparing the perfect bird and get all your Thanksgiving cooking questions answered. I'm joined now by Cincinnati Museum Center's Create Culinary Studio Manager, Megan Aylward, Je ne sais Fuqua CEO, Mona Bronson Fuqua, and Jungle Jim's Oscar Event Center Executive Chef, Michael Inferrara. Thank you all so much for being here, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely.
You can ask our chefs your Thanksgiving cooking questions right now. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And we already have a call. Well done, Carly. Way to get that first call in. What's your question or comment?
Thank you. I am trying to make more things from scratch this year, and I have a couple guests that are vegan coming over. Normally, I was making the tofurkey roast that has like stuffing in it and fake meat, but I don't want to do that this year. So I was wondering if you had any suggestions for vegan alternatives to the main dish.
This is a great question, Carly. Who wants to start?
We're all looking at each other. I'll take a shot at it.
Go ahead, Mona. Yeah.
I was raised by a vegetarian / vegan, so I've got a little bit of practice. This year, I am doing a sweet potato quinoa Brussels sprout combination. So it's a casserole. You can't slice it, but it certainly will give you your protein boost with those leafy greens. You've got your sweet potato flavor. You put a little poultry seasoning in there. And actually, I will send Lucy the recipe, and then you can look online and check it out.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. That would be great.
Yeah. You have any thoughts, Michael, you want to add to that?
I know there's a lot of meat alternatives out there. The only thing is, I feel at the same time, if there's a meat alternative, you're not eating meat for a reason. So, you know, we have a lot of different things to choose from. If it's, you know, different proteins and to go from, that you could go with the tofu. But as far as myself, I'll pass on this one.
You're in it for the meat. I get you. Anything you wanted to add, Megan?
Yeah, I mean, vegetarian's a little bit easier. Vegan becomes a little bit more tricky, but quinoa is a great, farro is another really great green salad that you can do, and you can incorporate greens and butternut squash and pomegranates and make it festive in other ways.
Yeah. Well, Carly, I hope that helps. If you also want to send me your email address, you can send it to talk@wvxu.org so I can make sure you get that recipe as quickly as I get it from Mona.
Yes, I will. Thank you all so much.
Sure thing. Sure, have a happy Thanksgiving. And we have another caller on the line. The callers are Johnny on the spot today. I appreciate it. Hey, Linda, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Okay, I have one for the meat guy. So,
Michael, you've already got a nickname. Congratulations. Okay, go ahead, Linda.
Yeah. Someone in my family can't have pork or poultry. They basically can only eat beef. So what's your best, like, cozy Thanksgiving-ish beef I can do for this family member?
Okay.
I'm big on short rib. Short rib's perfect for this time of the year. It's a cheaper cut of meat where you can just low and slow for a while. I don't know how you feel about that, but you don't have to worry about a temperature. You won't overcook it, which will be great. And it tastes great the next day and so on.
How do you prepare it, Michael?
I actually just made short rib last night.
Oh, okay.
So I got the boneless ones. I normally like to use the one with the bone in. But boneless are great. Just sear them. You throw your almost like a pot roast. So celery, carrot, onion. Deglaze it. You can go red wine, a little bit of beef stock, and cover it probably for about 3 hours.
In the oven for 3 hours? What temperature?
You go 325, and I feel like you're fine.
Yeah. What do you think, Linda? How does that sound?
I have a Dutch oven, so that sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're even better. Probably go a little less time.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Well, good luck, Linda. Our meat guy came through for you.
And he's going to go with those mashed potatoes that everybody else is having, too.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. Works with all the sides, all the tasty sides. Well, thank you so much.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah. That's right. It's a good thing we didn't publish your address on the web post here, Michael. We got a call from Ginger. Ginger says she makes cornbread stuffing balls. Everyone loves them. She uses cornbread recipe. She adds chicken stock to moisten and form into balls, and then she cooks them in the oven. That sounds kind of delicious, almost like a little hush puppy without the outside stuff. I don't know. Have y'all ever made anything like that?
Sounds tasty.
Yeah, it sounds super tasty.
So I wonder if that's part of her main or if that's the everybody's in here and wanting to taste stuff. Let me put something out front.
Oh, like an appetizer.
Yeah. I would do it for that.
Or try frying them up and put a little powdered sugar on them.
My gosh. We've got a whole spectrum of things we can do.
Stuff them with geta and then fry them.
Ooh. Here's the meat guy coming through with the geta.
or we could do some cranberries and some pecans and like get your protein hit that way. Okay.
Oh, this show always makes me so hungry every year. Well, let's go back to the turkey because we went to that turkey farm where you can get fresh turkey. Michael, I'll start with you. What are some of the benefits of using fresh turkey? Do you tend to use a fresh turkey for Thanksgiving?
I've used both. Recently, I haven't cooked Thanksgiving dinner. I usually go places, so I really haven't. I use both. I'm going to say the benefits of using fresh right now, it is a little bit of gamier if you're into that. You won't get some of them ice crystals. The flesh, they won't be broken down as much. So they say it's a little bit juicier. I agree. And then some of the cons when it comes to the fresh would also be, you know, the price is a little bit higher, but you pay for what you get. It's definitely a lot tastier.
Yeah. What do you think, Megan?
I'm definitely in agreement. The pros for fresh is it's not frozen, so yeah. You can kind of just go right into your brining. You're supporting local farmers, which I'm always huge on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times the frozen ones usually have some sort of like sodium broth injection in there. So you do have to be a little bit more careful with the amount of salt that you're using. I tend to be a little bit more on the salt heavy. I tend to cook for flavor usually, not always in health. So I love salt. So I love a good dry brine, which you can definitely do with a fresh turkey as well.
Mm-hmm. I like the plan. Yeah. I agree with you. I like the fresh because I refuse to do a whole turkey ever again in life. I have discovered the joys of breaking down that turkey just like I break down my chicken.
Yeah.
I dry brine it. And then the next thing is the air fryer is your friend.
Wow.
And oh my goodness. I'm not a big turkey breast fan. I leave that to the rest of my family. But I literally had to buy two turkeys this year because they left me scraps last year. I had nothing left for making soups or pot pies or anything.
That's not right. You got to have the leftovers.
Agreed. Exactly. But so two turkeys, going with the fresh. And a lot of times, one of the things that I also like is that if you're buying fresh, you can buy it already broken down. Not every family needs a whole turkey. You might just want a turkey breast. You might just want a leg and a thigh, and that's going to satisfy your little two or three people that you have in your home and still leave you with some leftovers probably. Mm-hmm. So I like that plan. I encourage people, to check out down at different places and find their individual cuts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are talking turkey for the full hour today. We've got local chefs here to answer your Thanksgiving cooking questions. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Now, Michael, I know you said you've gotten off the hook for cooking the big meal recently, but what are some of the pros of using a frozen turkey? I mean,
I'm all about a frozen turkey. I know there's, you know, you go both ways, but I've used frozen turkeys many times throughout my career. And some of the benefits are definitely you can save a little bit of money and put it towards something else. Maybe another side, maybe dessert and so on. Most turkeys are held around 26 degrees or so. And so them being held around there, there's possible ice crystals can still form. So even taking the frozen ones, I don't think you're really going to see a ton of difference the way they're being frozen these days.
Okay. Well, I hope the two is people don't come after you. But Megan, you mentioned a brine before. It sounds like you're pro brine. Did you say dry brining? What do you like to do?
Preferably dry, just mainly because spacing is always tricky, right? I mean, if you have a big bird, you have to have a big vessel to brine it in, and then you have to refrigerate that giant vessel on top of it. So with a dry brine, you don't necessarily have to do that. You can just sprinkle salt all around your bird. You want to season it really well. Very much like Mona, I don't necessarily break down the whole turkey, but I spatchcock it, where I cut out the spine, which I know sounds a little barbaric. And you kind of flatten out that bird, and then you just let it sit in your refrigerator for about 2 days uncovered so that the salt can kind of penetrate and also kind of dry out that skin, and you can get a really nice crispy skin. I know a lot of the times the argument is, well, you can make a really flavorful brine, but like at the Cincinnati Museum Center, we're always talking about science, and those flavor compounds are so big that they actually don't get into the skin of the turkey. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of just wasting your time. You're taking up space, which is already very valuable during a Thanksgiving cook-off. So that's kind of why I'm pro dry brine. But, you know, all brines, you know, better than brine it wet than not brine it at all. So.
Okay. Well, our producer, Selena, her husband uses a cooler. So for his wet brine, he fills it with ice cubes and brine and does it that way. That would be a way to kind of get that extra space, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. If you're a believer in the wet brine.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mona, what are you most excited about preparing or eating this year?
I'm going to go with Michael because I'm retiring from the Thanksgiving sweepstakes because the young people in my family have kind of started to step up and do things. So I'm excited because somebody else is going to make the macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is making the mashed potatoes. Nieces and nephews are bringing the desserts. My son is making deviled eggs that he says he's going to smoke. Ooh. So I'm like, hello.
Yes.
I don't know what the rest of y'all are eating, but I think right now my only true responsibility is the collard greens. Mm-hmm. So I've got my stretchy pants ready. I have my spot on the couch. I have my whole thing. And I'm just ready to kind of relax and watch everybody else run around.
Well, that's good. That's passing on the knowledge and the
exactly.
wisdom. That's important.
That's so important. I think we forget that this is an opportunity to invite our generations to the table.
Mm. Okay. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation when we get back. If you've got questions for our chefs, now's a good time to call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wbxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our Thanksgiving cooking show. My guests are Genesee Fuqua, CEO Mona Bronson Fuqua, Jungle Jim's Oscar Event Center Executive Chef Michael Inferrera, and Cincinnati Museum Center's Create Culinary Studio Manager Megan Aylward. Do you have questions about your Thanksgiving menu, or do you want tips for adding some new flair to a family favorite? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And we have another caller on the line. Hey, Valerie, thanks for calling. What's your question?
It's pretty simple, really. I have turkey defrosting in the fridge. I believe it will be completely defrosted by maybe sometime tonight. Is it safe to leave it 3 days in the fridge before I cook it?
That's a very good question, Valerie. What do y'all think, all you chefs?
I say yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
As long as you know that your fridge is, you know, at temp.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Does that give you some peace of mind, Valerie?
It does. Thank you.
Good. Sure thing. We'll have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We got an email from Tim. Tim writes, any tips on preparing a fresh turkey breast in a crock pot?
Yeah, I think this is where I'm going to be pro wet brine, because I'm assuming said turkey breast is not going to have skin. So a nice 24-hour salty sweet brine would be great. I have to admit, though, I've never cooked a turkey breast in a crock pot before. So as far as timing, gosh, I don't know. What would you guys say you think how long it should cook for?
I'm at a loss, but, you know, I think I would kind of default to, what is that, Mississippi, the beef that they do. There's a Mississippi beef recipe that is done in a crock pot, and it's pretty thick cut. I would think that it would match. I would take a look at the timing on that. Obviously, beef doesn't have to cook as long, but...
I'm not really good on a crock pot, but I'd probably turn it on right now.
Make sure it's nice and hot. Yeah. So would it be similar to like a pot roast, Mona, do you think?
I think that's what it is. It's a Mississippi pot roast. Okay. I think I would kind of look at the timing. And then really important to have your meat thermometer. I give it as gifts to everybody when they move out on their own. Every person should own one. You want to just make sure that breast is at 165.
Yeah, you do not want turkey breast sushi Thanksgiving. That's not good. Yeah. That's not good.
And I would maybe even put some like stock in that crock pot while you're cooking that turkey to just kind of keep it moist so it's not drying out and just waiting till you can get it to shred.
Okay. Well, Megan, what are you most excited about making or eating this year? Are you cooking a lot for Thanksgiving? We've got some people here at the table who are just here on the panel who are like delegating things.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of in the same boat with you guys this year. I'm bringing the green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. It is literally one of my favorite Thanksgiving day sides. I love green beans, and then I love a good mushroom cream base sauce. So super excited to make that. And then last weekend, actually, I had a Friendsgiving where I made a pumpkin cream sauce pasta with a little bit of sage, and I crushed up some walnuts on the top, so it was good for my vegetarian friends as well.
Yeah. How do you make the base for your green bean casserole? I'm guessing you're not cracking open cans of soup, am I right?
Oh, no. And we're using fresh green beans, too. Mm-hmm. So we're blanching our green beans, and then we're basically making a roux, so butter, flour, some good mushrooms. You can do a variety, or you could do button mushrooms. Jungle Jim's would be a great place to find your variety of mushrooms, or even Findlay Market, Madison's, all of that, and cooking that in that cream sauce. And then if you have the time, you know, I have to admit, I do love the store-bought crunchy onions. I can just eat those out of the canister. Right. But if you have the time and you have a mandolin, slicing your shallots really thin, tossing some salt on them to kind of pull out some water, and then tossing that with some flour and frying those up, those are fabulous too. So,
And do you blanch those green beans so they're not just mushy by
Correct.
The end?
Yeah. Light blanch, and then kind of finish them off in the sauce and in the oven.
Yeah. So I know you're not making Thanksgiving, Michael, but what are you excited about eating at Thanksgiving?
Sweet potatoes. Mm. Yeah, I've been big on sweet potatoes this past year.
How do you like them made for you?
Made for me? Oh, I'll take them fried. I'll take them roasted. I'll take them any pureed. This year, I actually got a couple, some crazy looking sweet potatoes I have from Jungle Jim's. I have the Okinawa. They're like purple. Mm-hmm. So I'm passing those off to the person making the sweet potatoes because they have the same taste. They just look a little different.
Yeah, I bet that'll be pretty on the table.
That and just throw some marshmallows, candy them up. You make them exactly the same. So the sweet potatoes for me.
Okay. Well, Mona, I know you're delegating, but was in the past when you were in charge of this whole big thing, what did you like to make ahead of time so you weren't scrambling to make it all on Thanksgiving Day?
I try to get almost everything that's sides related done ahead of time. Dressing, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, sweet potatoes. All of that I want done. About the only thing I want to be working on Thanksgiving Day is the turkey. And my husband is in charge of mashed potatoes, and he likes to do that on the day. But other than that, as much as I can get a hold or get taken care of ahead of time is better.
Yeah.
And I've got the space for it, so.
Well, I respect your husband's stance on mashed potatoes day of, because I feel like that's one of those things, if you make them too early, they can get kind of weird. Am I wrong about that? Am I right about that?
I'm with you. I want a fresh mashed potato.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Because you really don't want that funky Pepto-Bismol pink potato either.
No.
That's not a happy place.
No. No. Do you, now you were kind of given a shrug about cooking mashed potatoes ahead, Megan. Do you have a tip or trick for making those ahead of time so they're still tasty and delicious?
Yeah. Well, I think it involves needing special equipment. So, but you know, if you wanted to make them the day before, if you have a sous vide machine, you could always sous vide them and then heat them up through that method. So you're not really drying them out. They're kind of like safe in that little sous vide bag. But I do agree with you guys that you have to be careful that they could dry out. But you could always just add more heavy cream to them as well.
Yeah. Well, now that's a good solution.
And butter, exactly.
More butter, more cream.
Right, it's fine.
What could possibly go wrong?
Other than your cholesterol?
Yeah. Does Thanksgiving count towards cholesterol? I feel like that should be exempt.
I think Agreed. Probably there's some kind of culinary pass.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Yeah.
It's a blackout day.
Yeah. Fair, fair. Well, go ahead, Mona.
No, I was going to say, actually, probably speaking from a science point of view a little bit, and not a doctor, don't play one on TV, don't swear me to it. But if you're doing your fiber on the front end of your meal and you're getting your protein and a healthy fat, then by the time you get to your carbs, you slow down that absorption. And that is really kind of how we should eat anyway. So if you apply that same process on Thanksgiving, by the time you get to dessert, you're in good shape.
Wow, I like this. I don't care if it's right or not. I just like the way you think. Well, we've got chefs here to answer your Thanksgiving cooking questions. If you want tips, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. What about a make-ahead gravy recipe? Can you do that ahead of time, maybe using chicken wings or something? What do you think about that?
I'm with it. There's a way to, well, okay, I'll use the word rig. So a lot of times they don't have a turkey base or a turkey bouillon cube. You know, there's a lot of, it's hard to find that turkey stock any time of the year. So a good way to trick it, I guess, in a way, would be to take your chicken wings. There's a, you could get a really, really nice stock out of the chicken wings. You could cut them up a little bit if you wanted to ahead of time. I know it takes a cleaver, but it helps with it. Once you strain your chicken stock, add a little bit of beef stock to it. Or you can use the kitchen boquette or...
It's the whole barnyard in there.
Yep. So you use a little bit of beef and a little bit of chicken, and it comes off almost the same exact as a turkey gravy.
Huh. Yeah. I mean,
give and take.
Yeah, what kind of ratios are you using there? Like mostly chicken, a little? I mean, do you have any kind of
recommendations there? You're probably going to go 75% chicken.
Okay.
Maybe a 25 or like a 60-40. Play with it from there.
Okay. Wow. That's an interesting idea, introducing some of that beef stock in there. What side dishes? You mentioned you're making green bean casserole. How far in advance do you feel like you can do that and be successful with it?
It's always nice to be prepared, but then you also want to serve something fresh. So, you know, I would start maybe today. Today's Monday, right? And Thanksgiving's what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could start some layering and like some light prep. Like if you wanted to do the green bean casserole, maybe go ahead and fry those shallots and then put them in an airtight container. Those will hold till Thursday. Or make your cream sauce and then wait till Wednesday to blanch your green beans and then kind of all throw it together and put it in the in the refrigerator after that.
Yeah. Are there other sides that you believe strongly in making ahead, Mona? Oh, you said you do everything before the day of, but how far in advance do you get started?
I started last night.
Okay.
But I'm cleaning collard greens, so that means time on task. And so for things like that, I actually start cooking greens in September. And the way that I cook greens every week. So I'm always cooking them, and that's my pre-prep.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Michael? What do you like to make in advance when you're making stuff?
Good stuffing. Years back, I would put it inside the bird. Now, I go back and forth on it. But if I want it ahead of time, if I'm not putting it inside the bird, I would make the stuffing ahead of time where I could just bake it off from there. If there's a sweet potatoes, you can make them ahead of time, especially if they're like a mashed from there. Sauces for sure. Even just peeling your potatoes and putting them in water. Just, you know, setting yourself up for success. I know Thursday, nobody really wants to wake up really early and go to it. But, you know, the more you could get done now, the better.
Yeah. If you haven't started already, is it time to freak out and just order everything from a restaurant? Or is there still time to really get moving?
I think there's still plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time. Especially you can go places like Jungle Gems and get things that are going to help your process along. Not necessarily pre-cooked, but certainly giving you a head start. So,
okay.
I'm throwing Michael under the bus. Yeah. come looking for you.
he knows where to hide. Yeah. Well, we are going to be back for the final course of our Thanksgiving cooking show. If you've got questions for our chefs, now is the time to call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with the final helping of our Thanksgiving cooking show. My guests are Jungle Gems Oscar Event Center Executive Chef Michael Inferrera, Cincinnati Museum Center's Create Culinary Studio Manager Megan Aylward, and Genesee Fuqua CEO Mona Bronson Fuqua. They're ready to answer your questions, so give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. And we have some callers on the line. Hey, Doug, thanks for calling. What's your question?
If you're utilizing like a butterball turkey that you know has got the some of the seasoning and injections in it, should you go ahead and do the routine of brining that turkey?
Good question. What do you think, Megan?
I think what you're going to do is probably a little bit less. So maybe I would do the same method with spatchcocking my turkey, and then I would just go a little lighter on the salt, just because with that, less is more. And I would probably still salt my bird the day before, at least, and kind of let that skin dry out in the refrigerator and that piece get a little bit more salted. But again, just being a little bit more conservative on how much salt you're using.
Yeah. You can always add salt at the table, but it's hard to take it away, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Hope that helps, Doug. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And we have Joe on the line. Joe, I understand you have a different take on green bean casserole.
Ooh.
Yes, I do. So this is kind of a retort to the fresh. I am actually a preference of the canned green beans. So I will take two cans of regular cut green beans and two cans of the French cut because it gives it a better mouthfeel to have that mixture of the beans in there and that cut style. Okay. For the actual soups, I take a cream of mushroom and also a cream of chicken because that gives it a savory, more rich, more depth kind of thing. Because instead of adding a chicken stock, I just get that coming from the cream of chicken. And then because you were diluting down the cream of mushroom, the only thing fresh in mind is I will take the mushrooms and some butter and saute those down until they're nice and rich. And I will throw those in there as an added bonus because I love mushrooms in my green bean casserole.
Wow. Okay, Joe. Well, thanks for calling with that. Joe, making the case for the canned goods.
Yes.
What do you think? Does that sound tasty to everybody?
I like the extra umami added in there from that more mushrooms. And I agree with you. I absolutely love mushrooms, too.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Well, great, Joe. Thanks so much for calling with that. We sure appreciate it. Okay, I'm coming to you, Michael, because we want to get some funky flavors or a different take using some Jungle Jim's specialties here. Do you have okay. any like, Thanksgiving recipes like kimchi stuffing or anything that's just Ooh. Non-traditional that could blow our minds?
I mean, you got me right there with the kimchi. I got to start with the Okinawa again, the sweet potatoes for mm-hmm. sure. That's one. You can go with, you know, if it's a different bird, a duck and so on, we have down there. You can add things that are in season currently, say maybe in chili. So that's always fun where you're able to add different seasonings from, you know, throughout different countries. And now we have extended our international even more. So there's a ton of things you can add to it.
Yeah.
Star anise and, you know, if it's not cinnamon, but lemongrass. I like using lemongrass in my brines, actually.
Mm. Mm. Mona, I feel like you've got a flair for adding fun flavors to things. Do you have any tips for that?
Well, we were just having this conversation. Michael brought up the star anise, and then it made me think, okay, so if you took an Asian 5 spice powder, mm-hmm. added it to your brine, and that's going to give you a nice... a lot of umami, a little bit of, I don't know, it's just that depth of flavor. But the other now, see, Lucy, you did it because you said kimchi and dressing. And part of me was like, no. But then I started thinking about the fact that there is a dressing that uses sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a crock pot recipe.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm giving people homework. Get on the internet. But if you subbed out your sauerkraut for kimchi, that might be a nice way to add moisture, give you some flair for a little heat. I think and if our friend who makes the dressing balls mm-hmm. did that, what's her address again? Because I need to know.
What about adding something like pomelo to your cranberry sauce instead of oranges? Would that be a little extra zing? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I never thought of that, actually. Mm. But sure, why not? Different citruses are always fun to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little ginger is always good, too. But, okay, here's a question. Do your families let you all get away with making the cranberry sauce? Because mine nearly disowned me because I didn't have the imprint from the can on.
And yes.
it wasn't jellied. And they're like, we don't. No.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to make a stand for canned goods. I got to have a can of cranberry jelly. Yep. I literally crawled on the floor of the grocery store the other day to grab the last three cans of name brand jelly. And I don't care what I looked like on the security camera. I was like, I don't want your store brand. I'm getting this. And I'm crawling under the shelves to do it. So got to have that. But do you make your own cranberry relish / sauce / I mean...
Gosh, I have to admit, I don't think I have ever. I think same concept. I think there would be riots if we didn't have canned cranberry.
I have in the past. I mean, they were a little bit more open to it.
Yeah.
Good thing, bad thing, I don't have family out this way, so I'm not really bringing it to my family's house, so I don't have to hear them complain to me as much, so I'm just bringing what I want.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I have to admit, I've done it. I've retired from doing it because they won't eat it. However, I continue to make it because it's good for a nice little holiday drink. You take your made cranberry sauce and you make that your bottom, and then you top it with some Prosecco.
Listen to you. That sounds fancy and beautiful, too.
Pretty and, you know, it's a good way to get your 8 o'clock in the morning turkey thing started.
And there's some fruit in there, so that's kind of healthy, right? Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah, my mom used to make the cranberry, like putting it through the grinder with the oranges and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And she and my husband were the only ones who ate it. It's like, nope, I love you, but I have to have the lines and the jelly. That's what I need. What about pies? What kind of pie do you have to have? Are you pumpkin pie people? What are your strongly held pie beliefs? Mona?
I am team sweet potato okay. for pie. Mm. I did not grow up eating pumpkin pie, and I think it is very much what you grew up with. My husband.
Tradition.
Yeah. My husband eats pumpkin because he grew up eating pumpkin. And truthfully, we'll probably have banana pudding instead of all of that.
Ooh, banana pudding. I love that. What about you, Michael?
I just discovered chess pie.
Ooh.
Chess pie is that's, so good. But it's that, and I'm going to say lemon meringue.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
That's a good one.
What okay. time?
Yeah.
Have you had a chocolate chess pie?
Ooh, no.
Not yet.
Oh, everything's better when you add chocolate.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Megan, what about your, what's your pie?
To piggyback off of the lemon meringue, but put a little twist on it, and let's do a cranberry curd with like the meringue toppings. Nice. Just, you know, pay attention when you're toasting, because in Thanksgiving pass, I've got myself busy, and then I burnt the top of the meringue.
Oh.
But meringue's forgiving. You could scrape that right off and retoast it all over again, so there no one even go. Knew but me.
That's right. Great advice. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Brittany. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi. My question is we bought a frozen turkey that's pre-brined. My question is do we brine it? Because I think we do, and my husband thinks we don't.
Uh-oh. This is very dangerous territory. Are we siding with Brittany or her husband, who is not on the line right now? We don't even know if he's listening. So I just...
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Oh, hi. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is so awkward. Okay.
We'll bill you for our insurance for a marital dispute.
Oh, man. We don't have that kind of money. This is public radio. Okay. Michael, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with... Megan, like earlier, she said, kind of had the same question, was go a lot lighter on the salt. You know, just be aware on that. So I would go a lot lighter on the salt. Add your own flair to it. Definitely add your own flair.
So you're saying you should brine it. Just a little bit.
Even if it's just throw a little bit of rosemary in there, just add your own little touch to it. Yeah, so go ahead and brine it. Just be... cut back on the salt.
Okay. What do you think, Mona?
I'm going to abdicate.
Mona is not taking a stand on this question.
I'm not.
What do you think, Megan? Would you do a little brine? Would you say no brine?
I definitely wouldn't do a...
if it claims that it's pre-brine?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do a wet brine. I would, you know, not to repeat myself, but totally would just add the salt on the outside of the skin the night before. So like Wednesday, let it sit in the refrigerator and let it crisp up. In all of our cooking classes, we always say you can always add more later. You can just never take it out. So once you've salted that bird, it is salted. So you do want to be careful with it.
Mm.
Okay, so do a dry brine. Is that going to affect the cooking time now that it's been kind of wet brined and dry brined?
No, but like Mona said, definitely get a meat thermometer. And if this is, I'm assuming this is a frozen bird, do not trust those little
pop belly buttons.
You will overcook your bird for sure. So,
yeah.
Okay, so do a dry brine, but take it easy. Got it. Thanks, y'all.
Okay, yeah. are you going to be married after Thanksgiving still? Will the relationship?
That was such a perfect, you know,
diplomatic
answer of what we were looking for. Yeah. I was going to wet brine it. And so the dry brine is the perfect intersection of our marital disputes. So
we're going to
have a great Thanksgiving now.
It's a beautiful compromise, just like every successful marriage. So well done. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, so our producer has this trick for a moist turkey called her husband does a tinfoil tent, goes over the breast of the turkey during cooking. Do you all believe in a little turkey camp out like that in the oven? Never, you all are like not, what do you think?
If I was still doing a whole turkey, I've done it, but since I do a deconstructed turkey, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not tenting
that. Not doing that anymore. Yeah.
Is it tent for the crispy skin?
I think it's so that it goes over the breast. Is it for, it's to keep it moist, I think, is the idea. So the breast doesn't get too dry. He believes it locks in moisture.
One thing, I mean, you can go however. I like to take mine and probably like the last hour before it's cooked or before it's done and flip it over upside down. Mm-hmm. Or even when it's done, I'll flip it upside down. I know it doesn't make the skin look as pretty, but all those, I believe, all the juices kind of come down into the breast. And, okay. I'm hoping that works.
I have a logistical question. How do you flip the hot turkey? Do you just have like hands of steel? Like, what are you using to flip up? Because you could have like a 25-pound. I mean, you're clearly a stronger human than I am probably. But what are you doing to flip a hot turkey?
I'll get one side. I'll maybe have my wife get the other side. For myself, I'm just maybe towels, napkins.
Okay.
Forks.
Okay. Just like tongs. Swords.
Yeah. You just have to go right inside the middle of the bird and kind of, jiggle it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Flipping a hot bird. That sounds tricky to me, but I believe in you.
Just got to be careful.
Yeah. Be careful. Yeah. That's where we've gone wrong with in our family lore with wet brines and things getting dumped all over. And yeah, can be. Okay. Very quickly, what about appetizers? We were talking about those cornbread stuffing balls that Ginger called about. I mean, what are your favorite appetizers to serve for people to snack before the main event?
I feel like it's a very Midwest answer, but I love a cheese ball.
There you
I love
go.
A cheese ball.
Cheese ball.
Cheese yeah. ball's good.
I've been playing around with the Coney, doing a Coney egg roll.
Whoa. A Coney egg roll.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. It's actually something we do at Oscar, but we take all the components in a Coney, grind them up, and put inside the egg roll and fry them up. Tastes great.
Wow. A Coney egg roll. Blowing my mind.
I've missed that in my adventures at Jungle Gym, but I'll be checking that out. Right now, I'm playing around with toasted gnocchi. So doing the gnocchi and putting whatever your flavor profile is and in the air fryer, and then it's crunchy.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm going to be eating all the deviled eggs. So.
Oh, yes. I love a deviled egg.
Yeah, bring those in the kitchen, leave them right here with mom, and then y'all go do you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And do you all have a rule in your house? Like, the person who does most of the cooking, should they be exempt from cleanup duty?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, Mona, you're not doing most of the cooking, so I see you hesitating to answer this question.
Well, if you've done your job correctly, you kego and you clean as you go, and so there's less to be done.
Ooh, that's a good chef answer.
Isn't it, though? Thank you, Chef Fernando. May he rest in peace.
Aw. Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like great advice. I have been talking with Cincinnati Museum Center Create Culinary Studio Manager Megan Aylward, Je ne sais Fuqua CEO Mona Bronson Fuqua, and Jungle Gym's Oscar Event Center Executive Chef Michael Inferreira. Thank you all so much for your time today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening, and hope you have plenty of leftovers later this week.